Psalm 107. We're going to start tonight by the sermon title, which is this, a question. Are you in trouble? If you are in trouble, this psalm is for you tonight. We now, when we enter into Psalm 107, we've now entered into the fifth and the final book of Psalms. There's five books that the way they've divided everything up. And on this final book, we're going to find out that 15 of the psalms are by David. One psalm will be by Solomon. That's Psalm 127. And then there's 28 psalms that are anonymous, but we know that they're not really anonymous, for the Holy Spirit is the author of God's word. Amen? Now, so with all that being said, it's important to know that verse 8 is repeated four times in Psalm 107. Let me read it to you. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So four times the psalmist uses that particular scripture. He also gives us, before us, are four examples or illustrations of the Lord delivering his people. And the first one is the Lord delivering his people out of the wilderness. So let's begin this morning. Are you in trouble? I pray you're not, but if you are, this is a good word for all of us. In verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Isn't God good? Oh, praise the Lord for that. He is good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen to me. Give thanks. Do you know that's really, isn't that about really all that we can do? And it's the least that we can do, amen, is give thanks unto the Lord. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, in whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So verse 2 teaches us something. It teaches us to practice agreement. J. Vernon McGee, who's now home with the Lord, I heard him say it this way one day, where it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. McGee says, we need more say-so Christians. I thought that was pretty good. He's a Texan, you know. All right, never mind. Now, listen to me now. Out of all the people on this planet, we, the redeemed, should be shouting for joy that God is good. Amen? Oh, we should be saying all of those things. It says, in whom he's redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and the south. He's talking about now the nation of Israel or the children of Israel. Now, watch what happened. And they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way or in a lost way. They found no city to dwell in or to live in. They were hungry, thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. In other words, they were near death. And look what they did. Then they cried out to the Lord in their what? Oh, there's your answer. That's what we need to do in the day of trouble. Amen. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and look what God did. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way. Say that word, right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. What is true about the children of Israel, loved one, is true about us. Boy, you know the word wandered there. You know, to wander means you don't have a direction. Does that make sense? Yes, there was a cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, the Lord, the presence of the living God. But the fact of the matter is, there are no roads in the wilderness. They were just wandering all around in circles. And you know why? Because inwardly, man, they were lost. They had no direction. You know, and you know what? We were once wandering through this life. Amen? In the world, to me, of course, before I was saved, the world, I never called the world a wilderness. But you know, today, to me, the world is a wilderness. And we're just journeying through. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Man, we were without Christ. And someone told you, someone told me about Jesus, about the cross, about salvation, how God loves me. And guess what? We were saved and we cried out to the Lord. He saved us. He redeemed us out of the hand of our enemy. We have the worst enemy in the world. His name is Satan. He is the devil. But what's great about this scripture that pertains to us, it says there, he led them forth by the right way. Isn't it wonderful to know that right now, whether you believe it or not, you are being led by God right now. You're not stumbling through this world. You're not wandering through this world. You're being led by God the right way right now. And there are so many wrong ways. And I certainly went many wrong ways before I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that where he said that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Listen, we're on our way to our city tonight. Amen? And that place is called heaven. That is our heavenly home. He says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And loved one, that's not just for Israel. That's for every generation. And God's goodness endures forever and ever and ever. He doeth good, the Bible says, continuously. He says, and his wonderful works to the children of men. I tell you, when's the last time you thanked the Lord and just said, thank you for rescuing me from hell, from sin, from the grave? Amen. The Bible says in Romans 2:4, it's the goodness of God that leads a man unto repentance. And thank God for his goodness. Not only that, it says in verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness, or with goodness itself. And only God can truly satisfy the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, the inner nature, if you will, of a person. Only God can do that. You know, everything that the world offers, it may give you temporary pleasure, but it's always passing, amen? But not God. He says, and those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, it says bound, that word means they were prisoners in affliction and irons, or fetters, okay, chains. And look at the reason. Because they rebelled against the words of God, and not only that, they despised, or they abhorred, they scorned, if you will, they despised the counsel of the Most High. They thought that they knew more than the judge of all the earth. Listen, whenever a person turns their back on God, turns their back on the counsel of God, which is the word of God, which is the will of God, amen? Do you know what they're going to get? You know what that's going to result in? Right, what we just read. It's going to death, darkness, abound, or a prisoner, afflictions in this life. The song, Solomon writes in Proverbs 1:29, he says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Can you imagine hating the knowledge of God? But before we were born again, did we care much for the knowledge of God? Did we even believe in the knowledge of God? Loved one, we believe in it now. Amen? Amen? Don't scare me like that, you know? Man. It says, therefore he brought down their heart. Talking about these prisoners now. He brought down their heart how? In labor. You remember that song, you know, breaking rocks in the hot sun. I fought the law and the law won. You don't remember that. You do? I love you, okay? No, listen, it says, man, that hard labor in prison. It says, oh, look what happened. They fell down. There they are. There's no one to help. But what did they do? Then they cried out to the Lord in their what? Are you in trouble tonight? Boy, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to cry out to the Lord. And look what God did. He saved them out of their distresses. You know, there was not a prayer from their lips until then. They were seeking help below, but there was none to help. But the moment that they sought help from above, God did something. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He broke their chains in pieces. Have you ever been in jail? I pray not. I have never been in anything like that, only visiting. But if you've ever been in a jail cell for any length of time, and you finally walk out of that place into the fresh air, it's like walking into a brand new world. Do you understand? Oh, listen, the light of day, that's exactly the picture that God's painting right here. Man, he broke their chains. They're out of the shadow of death. They're out of darkness. They're into the fresh air, if you will. And he says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. And listen, that's exactly what God has done for you and done for me. Listen, when we came to Christ, the prison doors were opened. Amen. We have been set free from death, hell, sin, the grave, all of it through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says about Jesus, about when he came, the Messiah. It says in Luke 1:78, it says, because of the tender mercy of God, or God's merciful heart, he says, oh, with which the day spring from up on high has visited us. Dayspring is another word for the Messiah, Jesus our Lord. And why did he come? Listen, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Do you know what it means to sit in darkness? It means there is no light. Do you understand? To sit in darkness means there is no light, whether it's the regular light or darkness of day, or really spiritual light or spiritual darkness, loved one. He says, oh, though, you know, that light, you know, the only light that they had was called a shadow of death. I'm so glad tonight that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we may proclaim the praises or the excellencies of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Listen, Jesus was born in a dark world to take away the darkness from our lives and man's lives, loved one. You know, we were once darkness, but not anymore. Now we're sons and daughters of light. Matter of fact, Jesus said we are the light of the world. What did Jesus tell us in John 8:12? He says, I am the light of the world, and that he who follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now look at the third illustration. This is about a fool who has caused his own sickness or his own illness. In verse 17, he says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were what? Well, that word afflicted, they were made sick, they were made ill, they were afflicted with something. And their soul abhorred all manner of food. They couldn't eat anything, they were so sick. And they drew near to the gates of death. In other words, they were getting ready to close the casket on them, let's put it like that. Loved one, listen, their sins made them sick. Did you know that sin can cause sickness? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and so forth. So many sicknesses are a direct result of just our foolish acts. I mean, you can only eat so much Bluebell ice cream. I know a person used to eat 1 gallon every night with a tablespoon while he watched TV. Do you think that's smart? No, don't Bluebell use the other one? No, I don't know. No, I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, Dan was talking about In-N-Out, you know, just a moment ago. But I don't know what In-N-Out has. I'm sure it's good. I've only eaten there twice. But, you know, whenever you see these advertisements on TV, triple meat, triple cheese, 3 pieces of fried bacon on a bun. Loved one, listen, that's a heart attack. Do you understand? They don't put real cheese on those burgers. That's not real. You know what I mean? Most people don't even eat real cheese anymore. Velveeta is not real. Do you understand? No, it's not real. It's Velveeta. You don't even know what that word means? Look it up. It's Velveeta. Yeah, it sounds like a sickness. No. Listen, but the deal is that why did they get sick? Two words, transgressions. What does that mean? Willful rebellion against the known will of God. Iniquities, that is the want to, I know it's wrong, but I'm gonna eat Bluebell until I puke. You understand? But you don't want to do that. Now, Bill, you need to go to the next one. Okay, look what God did. Then they cried out to the Lord in their what? Okay, are you in trouble? Then there's your answer. And look what God did. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and what? He healed them. He just sent his word and healed these guys, whoever they were, and delivered them from their destructions, which was their fault. Does that make sense? Isn't God's grace incredible? I mean, you know what? He's a healer. Even when we bring it on ourselves, he still loves us. Do you know what I mean? Listen, you remember the story in Luke's gospel about the nameless centurion who had a servant that he loved dearly, and it's a nameless servant. We don't know who it is, but he was paralyzed. He was so sick, and he was so dear to this Roman centurion, but he was paralyzed, and he was near death. And it says in Luke 7:2, it says, so when the centurion, when he heard about Jesus, he went to the elders of the Jews, it says, and pleading with them to come and heal his servant. Isn't it amazing that the Bible talks about a Roman centurion who begged Jesus? Isn't that cool? He says, and when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, will you just come? Because Jesus, this centurion, he loves our nation, and he's built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them, and when he had already was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am unworthy for you to even enter into my house. Can you imagine in that day a Roman soldier saying that to a carpenter, a Jewish carpenter? That's exactly what he did. He says, therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. The Roman soldier says, listen to what he says now, but just say the word. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. You don't have to come to the house. You don't have to lay hands upon him. He doesn't have to touch you. You don't even have to see him. He says, I just want you to say the word. Remember there in verse 19 and verse 20, how did those that cried out to him in trouble and he saved them out of distresses, verse 20, and he sent what? He sent his word and healed them. You know what? That man, did he have faith? His faith was not only absolute, it was absolutely unlimited in Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says in Luke 7:8, he says, listen, he's talking to Jesus. He says, for I also, Lord, he said, I'm kind of like you. He says, I'm a man that's placed under authority. I have soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my servant, you do this, and he does it. In other words, I have authority. I understand authority. And I know that you have all authority. All you have to do is say it. Just speak it. And my servant will be healed. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now, the disciples were standing with him. You think it might have bothered them? Hello? No. Man, listen, what moved Jesus? Because this Roman was a Roman soldier? No. Because he built a synagogue for the Jews? No. Jesus marveled. Why? Just speak it. It says, and those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. Why? Jesus sent his word. Listen, we don't always need medicine or doctors. We just need the great physician. Do you understand? Always go to him first. Always reach out to him first. Are you in trouble in that area tonight? Cry out to the Lord. Listen, I always, when I am ill, I don't want to go to a doctor. You know what? They're expensive and you wait forever to get in. Then they put you in the waiting room. And, you know, I was listening. I was in the doctor's office this week. 2.5 hours. Oh, yeah. I thank God he was playing. The music was from the 60s. You know? Yeah, I was rocking out. You know, but never mind. Listen, the Bible teaches us this about God's word. In Isaiah 55:11, God says himself, "My word that goes from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It will accomplish what I please. It will prosper in the thing of which I sent it." Boy, he just sent his word and he was healed. You know what? We are in a season right now, this church. Loved one, here's what we must do. Wouldn't it be wonderful for us to stand up in faith, have tents all over this city? Wouldn't it be wonderful that we have the kind of faith as that centurion that causes Jesus to marvel and to turn to people and say, well, look at what is going on with this guy. Oh, listen, that's what we need. It's time to rise up. And you know what we need to do? We need to rebuild all that COVID has stolen from this great church, because this great church is filled with great people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, listen, the object of faith is a person. His name is Jesus. He is our Lord. The centurion believed this, that Jesus, whatever you say is enough for me. And that's the way we should be standing tonight. He says in verse 21, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." And I say amen to that. "Everything that hath breath, let them praise the Lord." Amen. Listen, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:15, it says, "Therefore by him," meaning Jesus, "let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." That is the fruit of our lips, that spoken praises, giving thanks to his name. Do you know that you don't have to be in church to praise the Lord? Do you know that you don't have to be in church to give thanks unto his name? Amen? But we need to do it here. But we can do it every day of our life to give thanks unto the Lord. Now look at the fourth one. It says these are those that are in a storm. It says in verse 23, "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters." In other words, that's how they make their living. You know, I'm not a big fan of the ocean. You know what I mean? Personally, I have no desire to get on a cruise liner or a ship and go out into the ocean. I mean, I love the ocean. I love to look at it, but not be in it. And you know, I used to love the ocean. I used to go, man, in Florida, I would go. You know how you used to, you know, body surfing? Man, you'd hit that sand and. It's horrible. But when that movie Jaws came out, boom, 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 you remember that? I don't go in there anymore. So anyway, now verse 24, it says, "And these sailors, they're on these ships," it says, "they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep," all the different kinds of fish and all that. "For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens and they go down again into the depths." Have you ever been on a boat like that? Up and down? It'll make you seasick just reading this scripture. Do you understand? Man, up and down. He says, "And oh, their soul," in other words, or their courage, "it melts and becomes of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and they are at wit's end." In other words, all their wisdom, they're being defeated by the stormy waves and the wind and the up and down of the sea and so forth, because they have no control over the ocean. "But they did the wise thing." Look what they did. "Then they cried out to the Lord," and they're what? Are you in trouble tonight? That's what you must do. You cry out to the Lord, and look what happened. He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still, and then they're glad because they are quiet. I say amen to that one. "So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him as in the assembly of people and praise him in the company of the elders. Listen, only Jesus can calm the storms in our life. And life is full of storms. Amen? From birth to death, A to B, up valleys and storms and all the rest of it, sometimes the mountaintops. But life is full of storms. That's just the way it is. And you know something? Sometimes they come for various reasons. It's not always our fault. Read Acts, I think it's 27 when you get home. Remember when Paul, you know, and he told him, said, listen, you know, don't do this because the Lord has told me that we're going to lose the ship and so forth and all of that. And they start lightening their load and so forth. And they were going to ride out the storm instead of bailing out. I mean, Paul got in trouble because of the captain of the ship. How about Jonah? Jonah, man, was he in trouble? Yeah, out of disobedience. But Jesus wants us to know tonight, man, listen, are we in a storm? He can calm our storms. You remember in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 22, the Lord told the disciples, said, let's get into the boat. We're going to go to the other side. And on the other side, of course, later in Luke's Gospel, he was going to meet the Gadarene demoniac. And so as they launched out and they started sailing, remember Jesus, what did he do? He went to sleep, remember? There's a little leather pillow there, and he put his head on it, and he went to sleep, and all of a sudden a horrible storm blew in. The waves were raging and so forth there in the boat, and the boat was filling up with water, and here's what happened. And they cried out, and they said, oh, Jesus, they woke him up saying, Master, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus arose, and he rebuked or commanded, literally, or the word there is literally bemuzzled, okay? He says to the storm and all the raging winds, he said, be muzzled. And it says they ceased and they were calm. And Jesus said to his disciples, where's your faith? What a great word. He says, where is your faith? And they were afraid and they marveled, saying one to another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Listen, when was the last time that you slept through the storm? I'm not talking about a Texas storm, okay? You know, when's the last time you negotiated with a tornado? Not lately, I can assure you, okay? No, listen, you know, when's the last time that you had absolute peace in the storm? Do you know that's what Jesus wants us to have? Are you in trouble? He is our peace. Amen. We're going to get through the storm. You know, if you've ever been in a plane and have you ever flown through a storm? Oh, listen, man, you know, here's the thing. See, if you're up in the air and you're flying, you know, like you're not flying it, but the pilot, American Airlines, and they always want to go around the storm. They never want to go through the storm. But sometimes they have to. And you start going through that storm, and a man, when you hit the outer edges, is that plane, you know what I mean? And everybody's drinking as much vodka as they can. You know, not you, you're praying. You know, because you know that vodka doesn't work anymore, okay? You pray. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're going through it and you feel like the whole plane is going to fall apart. And I was in one of those storms one time, and the wings, you know, I don't know if you know this, but now I don't know what it is today, but this is back years ago. And the wings were, I mean, it was lightning was striking everywhere. And I was looking out the window, begging God not to let me die. No, and I was going, and those wings go, they have like 7 feet back then. I don't know what they are today, but they could go like that up and down. And I didn't know that. I thought, they're getting ready to be whacked off. It's over. And that lightning and all of that. And then all of a sudden, it stopped. And you know why? We were in the middle of the storm. And see, when you go into the storm, you feel like it's going to tear you to pieces. So all of a sudden, when you get to the center, it calms down. And you go, oh, thank God I made it. No. Now, all of a sudden it starts over again, and it's worse, but you're going out of the storm. Do you understand? That's where you want to be, going out of the storm. because that's on the other side. It's all over with. Listen, Jesus is going to get you through the storm. You don't have to bail out. Just ride it out. Amen. And that's exactly what we need to do. We don't need to be afraid of anything. You know, when we obey the Lord, we follow the Lord, we should expect storms in our life because we're just going to have them. And it always tests our faith. And here's what storms do. They try to hide Jesus from you. They try to hide the promises of God. Let me ask you a question. The disciples were in the boat. Jesus was in the boat. He was sleeping. They wake him up. Master, do you not care that we're perishing? The boat's filling up with water. Let me ask you a question. Did the circumstances, the wind, the waves, and all the, did the circumstances blind the disciples from the very presence of Jesus? Yes. He was right there. And Jesus had to say, what's wrong with you guys? Where is your faith? So what is Jesus telling us about a storm? Unbelief, loved one, is more dangerous than any storm. Amen? Oh, we have to trust the Lord, and he'll get us through it. And look what happens. It says in verse 33 now, it says, he turns rivers into a wilderness, meaning God does that. And the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness. He says, and here's why God did it. For the wickedness of those who dwell in it, meaning it is the nation of Israel that they dwelt in. So why did that happen? The reason it happened was because God says, I'm not going to share my people with anything. Listen, if you trust a river, and we're just using that as an example, like God did, excuse me, you know what? If you trust that more than God, God says, you know what? I'm going to have to dry that thing up. Amen? If you trust in your fruitful land, let's just call the fruitful land your job, your money, your education, whatever it might be, God says, no, that's not going to work. I'm not sharing you. You belong to me. I bought you. I purchased you. And he says, it's going to become barren. See, we never need to trust in uncertain riches, but in the certain God who has given us richly all things to enjoy. Amen? Now, so, but it says there again, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it, meaning the nation. You know, don't you love America? Yeah. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, would you?
No.
But loved one, listen to me. Sometimes I look out at our country and I think it's almost like a dry, fruitless, barren wasteland. You know what I mean? And that's heartbreaking, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing the things that are happening. But you know, there's a promise in the Bible that's not, that Solomon prayed, but and God told Solomon, but it's not only for the nation of Israel, it is for anyone who belongs to God. And that's 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it says this, if my people, God says, are we the people of God? Amen. It says, if my people who are called by my name, and boy, we are, praise the Lord, sons and daughters of God. He says, if my people who are called by my name will do something, if you'll humble yourselves, if the White House will humble, if the Senate, the House, all the Supreme Court, if this nation, if we would only humble ourselves, God says, if we would pray, prayer is always the work. If we would seek God's face, that means to seek God in faith, believing that he's a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. He says, if you will do that, and then he says, but also if you will turn from your wicked ways. Boy, there's a lot of wickedness in our country. A lot. There's a lot of wickedness in every country, amen? In all the world. But God says, if you will turn, if you'll do a 180, if you will repent, if you'll turn from your wicked ways, God says, listen, he says, number one, I'll hear your prayer from heaven. He says, I will forgive your sin. And this is the part I love the best. He says, and I will heal your land. Boy, we need our land healed tonight. Amen. Oh, how we need to pray. Now look at verse 35. On the other hand, God blesses Look what he does. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell. In other words, a place for the poor and the needy to come. He says that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, sow fields, plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly. And he does not let their cattle decrease. And when they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, or sorrow, God, look what he does. He pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there's no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous, a very important verse now coming up. The righteous see it, rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Verse 43, whoever is wise will observe, or literally observe and heed these things that we've just learned tonight, loved one, and they will understand the loving kindness of God. Are you in trouble tonight? If you are in trouble tonight, you now know what to do. But it says whoever is wise will heed these things. Man, you need to cry out to the Lord. He knows your heart. He knows what you're going through, and the Lord will help you. Now, quickly, on Psalm 108, we're not going to cover but a few verses, because this Psalm 108 is nearly identical, if you will, with Psalm 57 and Psalm 60, which we've already covered. So just a few verses tonight. This Psalm of David is a psalm of triumph. Verse 1, and this is the main part. O God, my heart is what? That's a great word. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. I'll sing, give praise, even with glory. And so let me ask you a question as we're going to close tonight here. What is your heart condition? Ask yourself, Lord, what's my heart condition tonight? You know what a steadfast heart is? The word steadfast means a heart that is firmly established, a heart that is fixed, that is absolute, if you will, trusting the living God. Matter of fact, drop down to verse 12, we find our answer. He says, give us help from trouble. There's that word again. For the help of man is what? Boy, is that a good word. He says, oh, give us help from trouble. The help of man is useless. Through God, though, we will do valiantly. For it is he, meaning God, who shall tread down our enemies. You know, we found our answer to verse 1 right here in verse 13. Our answer is a steadfast heart. And the result is the enemies that are against us, loved one, and we do have enemies. And the number one, of course, is the wicked one. It says that he treads down our enemies. I like that kind of fight better, don't you? He does it. And I just watch it being done. Amen? Listen, God is so good to us. And you know what? I know that, like Job said, a life is short and their days are full of trouble. But you know what? We've already overcome the world, because we're in the one who has overcome the world. Amen? To overcome the world means that everything that is in this world, because we are in Christ who's overcome the world, is already defeated. Does that make sense? Already defeated. Already defeated. We're not defeated. You can't be defeated if you're in Christ. Amen? No, we've overcome the world. And let the Word of God abide strong in your lives. Let it dwell in your hearts. Amen? Father, we thank you tonight for Dan and sharing with us. And Lord, we just again, we time to start regrouping and winning this city, which was our original plan before the COVID hit. So Lord God, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for the people that are going to be stepping out into the tent ministry just once a month, serving for 3 hours, leading people to Jesus Christ. It's an adventure, Lord. It's an adventure with Jesus. We love you. We praise you tonight. Give everyone safe passage on their way home. And Lord, prosper their entire week. And Lord, if they're in trouble tonight, let them cry out to you. And you will quickly come to their aid. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. Oh, I thought Jesse was gone. I was was already in trouble. I was getting ready to cry out to the Lord. Take us home, brother. If you need prayer after the song, there's people here to pray for you. Love you dearly.